Have faith in God is a statement Jesus made in Mark 11. When he made that statement, he had just, most of you know that story, had cursed the fig tree and it had withered, and the disciples were amazed that that transformation took place so quickly about the tree. All he did was speak to it. And when they saw that, they said, "Lord, look, the fig tree," Peter said, "the fig tree you curse is withered." And that was Jesus' comeback. His statement was not an explanation of the fig tree or any of that. He simply said, "Have faith in God." Then he explained what that meant. Have faith in God is a statement that Jesus, in a sense, was commanding us to work on our faith life. Work on having faith. If he said, "Have faith in God," then faith in God must be under my control. I must be able to do it. It's not something beyond my reach. It's not something beyond what I can do, or he wouldn't have told me that. He wouldn't say, "Have faith in God," if it's impossible to do that. A lot of people don't know that you can actually make changes in your life that your faith will grow. Have faith in God. Last time we talked about Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11. I want to go back to Enoch for a little bit, because I think he points out something here in Hebrews chapter 11, that Enoch, it says, walked with God. In Hebrews 11, it talks about Enoch walking with God, which we looked at that a little bit last week. It talks about Enoch walking with God, and it puts Enoch in this thing that we call sometimes the heroes of faith, this faith chapter. In Hebrews 11, verse 5, "By faith Enoch was taken from this life." By faith, what happened to Enoch? By faith. He was transformed into something different. He went on into heaven with his body, evidently. But my point is, and the Bible, I think, makes the point, that by faith Enoch saw something and did something that seemed impossible. So by faith Enoch was taken. So he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For when, before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Why did God take Enoch? Because he liked him. He was pleased in Enoch. He said, "I want this man in my presence. I want him to come to me," because he had pleased God. Well, how did he please God? This says, Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, you can't do that. You can't please God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So on this, if you look on the screen there, I put "have faith in God." And then I said, "a man who walked with God." Enoch was a man who walked with God, Hebrews 11, verse 5 and 6. This next slide, I put this: Enoch pleased God by what? How did he please God? Two statements made in verse 6. He believed, Enoch believed that God existed. You can't believe, you can't please God without believing he is, that he exists. How can you ever please God if you don't even believe there is a God? How can you please God if you don't act and walk and talk as if there is a God? It's just not possible. And then it says he pleased God because he believed God is, but also that God rewards. This is one we stumble over sometimes, that God actually rewards. That God rewards those who believe in him. He believed that God rewards those who seek him. Are you a seeker of God? Are you a seeker of God? Do you want to know God? Do you want to walk with God? I put this, so Enoch walked with God. How can, next slide, how can a human walk with God? That sounds outside the realm of possibility to some people. How could I even think about, I don't know, people would say, "Well, I don't know about God. God's off in the sky somewhere. I don't know." How could you have a relationship with God? How could you have a relationship with a tornado? How could you have a relationship with a hurricane? How could you have a relationship with the planet Earth? It seems so far out to a lot of people that they could walk with God, that they could have a relationship with God that is intimate, that is a relationship of I talk to him and he talks to me and back and forth. How can I have a relationship with God? How can anyone walk with God? Would you like to walk with God? Is that on your radar screen? Is it something that really gets you going when you think about, I really want to know God? I really want to seek God. Back in the day when I was not really serving the Lord, not really concerned about it too much as a college kid, I read a book, and it was a book written by a Hindu, and something I had never really heard. I'm sure it was out there, but I didn't never had heard it in Christianity. But this Hindu said, it is possible to know God, not just hear about God. And you know, that really kind of got my attention. And even then, even though I really wasn't following Jesus, it just struck me like, I want that. Well, I didn't find it in yoga or Hinduism or any of that, but it's like, I want that. I want that thing where I know God, where God and I converse, and I understand what He's telling me, and certainly He understands me completely, but I don't understand all that He does, or understand all of who He is, or what he talks about, but I want to know God. I want to walk with God. I want to be in His presence. I don't know where that comes from. Do you have that? Is that in you? Do you? Some are so unconcerned about it, it's not a big deal to them. As long as I go to church and kind of keep my nose clean, I'm okay. I don't worry about that when I get to heaven. No, I want it now. I want some of that now, don't you? That walking with God that is so encouraging and that is so, I mean, you know, who would be more fascinating to know than God? Who would be more interesting to be around than God? There's nobody like Him. He made all things. Would you like to walk with God? Here's how we're going to approach it, I'm going to say some things here that I know you can't master this in a week, and you can't. And I'm going to talk about some things about Jesus' walk with His Father that we'll try maybe to imitate some of that. I understand it's going to be, you know, you're not going to master it all right away. But and I'm not going to say everything that Jesus did in His walk with His Father, but there'll be some things. How did Jesus walk with God the Father? How did Jesus walk with God the Father? We'll look at that for a little bit. How did He do that? And this thing I put up here, the spiritual habits of Jesus. Some people think Jesus just had it. When He got born, He was the Son of God, He was Messiah. But you know, the Bible doesn't say that. It says He grew in wisdom. It's not going to be on the screen there, but He grew in wisdom and stature and favor with both God and man. He grew. Did Jesus have to grow up from being a baby to being a man? Did He have to grow in His inner being? Yes, His spirit. You know, a child of 3-4 years old doesn't have the same understanding an adult does. So He had to grow. As He grew, He had to do certain things to energize His faith. I'll show you those in a minute. He had to do certain things to walk with His Father. He had to do certain things to build His spiritual life. It didn't just happen. He didn't go in a phone booth like Superman and come out, you know, when a phone booth, Clark Kent comes out as Superman. No, He lived an everyday life and practiced some things every day that caused Him. I didn't make Him the Son of God, but it caused Him to walk intimately with His Father. Think about it. Jesus, the Son of God, knew God the Father before He got here. But He never knew what it was like to be a human till He got here. And He got inside one of these earth suits and He walked around. So how does a human being relate to the God of the universe? He shows us how to do that. He shows us how. Number one, what are the spiritual habits of Jesus? He prayed early and He prayed often. That's in Mark. In Mark's gospel, Mark's account, chapter 1, when you look at Mark chapter 1, look at this comment. It's an amazing comment. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning. How early? Still dark. That's pretty early. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where He prayed. Now that sounds neat. And people think, yeah, I'd like to do that. I'd like to get up early, and some people think, not me. But I'd like to get up early, and I'd like to go out and pray like that. But I'm very busy. I work. I have this, that, or the other. Some people that are retired tell me their time is taking up more now than when they worked. Did you know when Jesus, if you read the chapter before this, or if you read from verse 14, Mark chapter 1, verse 21, what does it talk about? How busy he was. How busy he was. He went to the synagogue. This is verse 21. The people were amazed at his teaching. Just then a man, verse 23, in the synagogue, possessed by an evil spirit, cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus, Son of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus said, "Be quiet. Come out," and he cast the demon out. Then it says, verse 27, the people were all so amazed, they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly all over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. They told Jesus about her, so he went to her, took her hand, helped her up. The fever left her. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. Verse 32. That evening, after sunset, how late in the day is that? It's dark. So he had been going all day long, healing people. It says here, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. They found out there is a remedy right here. This man named Jesus. Get everybody to him. He healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. He's had a busy day. A very draining day. Anybody that's in ministry will tell you ministry can be draining. You're helping people with their problems and you're listening to their problems. And I'm not complaining, I'm just saying that. Talk to somebody that's in full-time ministry. It's exciting, it's enjoyable, it's fun, it's thrilling. But it can tire you out. Otherwise, your preacher would never sleep. If we never got tired, we'd go 24/7, right? What about Jesus? Did he have to go to bed that night? Because he said he got up, so I guess he went to bed. So he got up, and what did he do? Very early in the morning, still dark. He had a busy day. He had a day we couldn't cope with. None of us could cope with the kind of day he had, and he went to bed that night, and he got up very early the next morning before it ever got daylight. And what did he do? Went off to a solitary place, and he prayed. That's one of the secrets to how he walked with his Father. How do you walk with God? You pray early and you pray often. So I don't know how to pray. I give you a tip on that. Read. Start with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And every time you see prayer mentioned, just underline it in your Bible. And I heard a preacher say one time, if you don't like to write in your Bible, just take it, put it in a glass case hanging on the wall, and get you one you can write in. Get you a cheap one you can write on. Some people don't like to mark up their Bible, but sometimes it helps. If you go through and you underline every time prayer is mentioned in the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, I've done it a couple of times. Every time prayer is mentioned and you highlight it, you know what you get? Almost 900 times in the Bible, prayer is talked about or mentioned. Or somebody's praying, or somebody's teaching on prayer. Jesus taught on prayer about 15 times in his life, in the Gospels. His ministry was only 3.5 years. He taught 15 prayer seminars. That's why we do prayer seminars. It's got to be taught. Prayer needs to be taught. Why does prayer need to be taught? Well, a lot of Christians will pray. They don't pray much. Don't pray much. And then when a crisis happens, oh, the prayer comes out then. God help me, God help me, God help me. But it's not a very mature prayer. It's just begging, and it's just squalling, and it's just panicky. We teach on prayer because we need to learn how to pray effectively. Now, Jesus' spiritual habits, number one, he prayed early, and he prayed often. Very early in the morning in Mark chapter 1. Number two, Jesus listened to his Father. Look at this passage here on the screen. John 8:28. Here's what Jesus said about listening to his Father. I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. He listened to his father, and he learned what his father wanted him to say. Oh, if we would do that, that would clear up. If our world would do that, oh my goodness. If we would just say what God says to us, read your Bible, and what God says to you, then you say that. But we get into all kinds of gossip and problems and conflict with people, and just, you know, just live the Bible, and it will simplify things a lot, won't it? So this is the number two here. He listened to his father. There's another passage on the next screen. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. He didn't say anything. He said what he heard his father say. So Jesus listened, and he listened, and he listened to his father. And when he did that, he spoke what he was supposed to speak. So one spiritual habit that he had was in listening. He listened to God, his Father, and he listened to the Word of God. There are lots of places in Scripture where he talked about Scriptures. He spoke about the temptation scene. Remember that? You're not going to see that on the slides here, but the temptation scene where the devil tempted him. His comeback every time was, "It is written. It is written. It is written." That's how he confronted the devil. That's how we're supposed to confront the devil. Know the Word and speak the Word. If you want to be a person who walks with God, what do you have to do? Well, you pray early and you pray often. And the second thing you do is you listen to what God has to say. You listen to it. Number three, Jesus set aside his flesh. Oh, we got a flesh problem, haven't we? America has lots of health issues. America has lots of weight issues. We have lots of problems. A lot of it's associated with lifestyle. The lifestyle we live. We pamper ourselves. I've talked to people, and I've experienced some of that myself. I've talked to people who've gone in the mission field, and they come back and they say, "You can't imagine what it's like over there." Why are people so quick to believe when I've talked to missionaries in Africa? Why are they so quick to believe the Bible? Why are they so quick to pray? Why are they so quick to accept when God heals them? And they say, "Okay, God said he would heal us, he healed us." One missionary I know that was down in Kenya for many years, I think he's over in Liberia now, and he said, people where he was in Kenya, he said, they pray a lot because we don't have emergency rooms out there. So when you think of this, number three, Jesus said, you got to deal with the flesh. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. So look at the passage here. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Jesus knew how to deny his flesh. He knew how to deny his flesh. He came to the cross. It was about time for the cross. And he prayed, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But what's the rest of it? Not my will. My flesh," he's sort of saying, "my flesh would like nothing better just to go on home. Forget this. My flesh doesn't want to suffer. My flesh doesn't want to die like this. My flesh doesn't want to bear the sins of the world." He said to his disciples, this is killing me. He said, "This I'm sorrowful even unto the point of death," as he approached the cross. It was killing him, he said, sorrowful to the point of death. You know, anybody's grieved themselves to death? Some people probably have. And Jesus said, "I can feel that. I can understand as I come under this cloud of the sin of the world, all this shame and all this punishment and all this guilt." He asked his Father, "Is there any way this can pass from me? Can this pass from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And he prayed that three times. But he knew how to set aside the flesh. If you want to be a spiritual person that walks with God, you got to stop letting your flesh run the show. I remember traveling one summer, I was probably in high school, traveled up into Arkansas to be with family. We were visiting a family, some of the family up there, and this elderly couple had a little child. They had a child late in life. He was probably 5 or 6 years old at the time. And he was running across the house, and he was doing this or that, or climbing on the curtains. He just had his way in that house. He was running the show. He was running the show. And finally, he got mad at his daddy, and he crawled up under the bed and wouldn't come out. And my dad was a little puzzled by that, because my dad was pretty, as I've told you before, he was combat Navy in World War II, lived through the Depression. You know, he raised us right. He wasn't cruel or mean, but it was just like Daddy said something, that was it. You went by that, right? And so he laughed at his relative that was down on his hands and knees, talking to the son, please come out from under the bed. Please come out from under the bed. Later, Daddy said, I think I could get him out from under the bed, you know. So you have to treat your flesh that way. Your flesh will run wild, and your flesh will get what it wants, and your flesh will this, that, and the other. We have such an addiction problem in America. We're addicted to food. We're addicted to pornography. We're addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, all these addictions. It's just the flesh running wild and getting what it wants. You can't be a spiritual person that walks with God that way. Jesus was not that way. I know sometimes self-discipline is hard, but you know what? One of the things the Bible says is a fruit of the Spirit is self-discipline. The Holy Spirit will help you if you want to discipline. If you make up your mind and you say, I'm going to be disciplined about my flesh, I'm not going to let it run wild, help me, God. If you really believe it, God will help you, right? So Jesus was not one to let his flesh. He set aside the flesh when he needed to. Number four, he practiced solitude. Luke chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Yet the news about him spread all the more, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. What does often mean? He didn't do it like once a year. Some people think they do it once a year. They're doing a lot. You know, I went off and had a prayer time. I went off out to the lake and spent the day in prayer. Oh, he did it often. Solitude. What is solitude? You get by yourself. Some people don't like to be by themselves. They go nuts if they're by themselves. That's because they got issues inside them that they haven't dealt with. Get by yourself sometimes, just you and the Lord. Jesus said that, didn't he? You go into your prayer closet and you pray, and what God sees in secret, he'll reward you for what you pray in secret. Get by yourself sometimes. Turn off all the apparatus and all the devices and get by yourself. I struggle with it. We all struggle with that. We get busy. We get involved. We get things we have to do. But Jesus knew how to practice solitude. He knew how. Think about it. The Son of God had to get away by himself and think things through and talk to his Father. Solitude. Number five, Jesus walked in love. Did you know that's a spiritual value, that God is love, and so God highly regards this thing of walking in love. What do you mean walking in love? Jesus said, this is John 15, verse 12 and 13, love each other as I have loved you. Did he love them? Does he love us? He walks in love. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Did he do that? Okay, walk in love. What does it mean to walk in love? Well, walk in love is you focus on love. You ask God to help you love and to act in love. I saw a movie the other night. I'd seen it before, but just something about it the other night was really touching to me. I Remember Mama is the name of the movie. Ever seen that one? That's a good movie. It's a movie made in Hollywood back when Hollywood believed in civilization. There was no cussing in it, no violence, no sex in it. There was no untoward stuff that went on. It's not sappy and, you know, stupid, silly. But it's about a family that loved each other. They didn't always get along, but they loved each other. If you get a chance to see it. It was an old movie from the 40s, I think it was. I Remember Mama. I used to hear my parents talk about it when I was growing up. They liked it. They'd seen it before. Back then, you had to go to the movie theater, didn't you, to see it. And it dawned on me, what is love? Love is just doing stuff for people that you don't have to do, but you want to. You just bless. If the families today would talk to each other with kindness and just bless each other once in a while, great things would happen, wouldn't it? Isn't it more appealing to live in a situation where people love you than live in a situation where everybody's sniping at each other and criticizing each other, slamming each other, and everybody uses the same excuse? Well, that's the way I grew up. But you can change that, can't you? I mean, are you on person now? You don't wear diapers anymore, I hope. Some of you may have to, but when you're 3 or 4 years old, you don't act like you did then. You grow up. And you say, I take responsibility for my life. I want to walk in love. I want to walk in love. Well, Jesus expects us to walk in love. Love is, well, just like yesterday, I think I mentioned that about the people in El Paso and all the shootings. This old fellow didn't have any family. His wife was killed, and he didn't have any more family, and it must have been hundreds of people. He put on the site of the funeral times, you know, the obituary. He said, I don't have any family left. If anybody would like to come to the funeral, you're welcome. And hundreds of people showed up. Is that love? Love is just, they didn't even know the man. Can you do an act of love to somebody you don't even know? You can help somebody. You can bless somebody. And they did that. So love, how do you walk with God? You walk in love with other people, but you walk in love with God. How can I love God? How can I love God? Jesus said, love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and then love your neighbors yourself. So if you don't love God, you won't really love your neighbor. You love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. So if I love God with all my heart, I want to spend time with God. I want to talk to him. I want to have him talk to me through his word. I want to be there. I want to walk with him. If you're walking with God, aren't you walking with the one who is love? He is love. It dawned on me the other day, if I wanted to do something for Jesus, you know, I'm grateful for what he did for me. If I wanted to do something nice for Jesus, and I thought, and here I am, maybe I inherit $1 billion, I want to do something nice for Jesus. What could I buy Jesus that he doesn't already have? I'll buy him the Grand Canyon. It's already his. I buy him all the diamonds in the world. I buy him the whole earth. I can't buy him anything that he doesn't already have. But you know what he said? He said, here's what I want you to do. When you do something for someone, he said, when you visited me when I was sick, and you visited me when I was in prison, and you this, and you remember that scene in Matthew 25, and he said, you did this. And they said, well, Lord, when did we see you in prison? When did we see you sick? When did we see you? He said, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it for me. So I can't buy Jesus the Grand Canyon, but I can go give a cup of cold water to somebody. And he says, thank you. Nice gift you just gave me. I love the gift you just gave me. Walk in love. If you're walking in love, it'll be much easier to walk with God. If you're walking with God, you are walking in love, aren't you? So love others. And Jesus said, that's what I want you to do. You know, when you're growing up in a household, and my family was a good family, my sister and I were the only two siblings, and we grew up in this household. And you know, when you're kids, you try to think, what does mama want for her birthday? And you go down and buy some little thing, you know, you saved your money. Might have saved a dollar or two, go down and buy something and give it to mama for her birthday. She's happy because it's from her child. And she's happy about that. But you know what really makes mama happy? When you grow up and you, as you are growing up, you treat other kids right. You don't bully. And you go to school and you act like they want you to act at home, want you to go to school and be somebody, want you to go to school and not get in trouble. That's a great gift for your parents, isn't it? When you live the way that you were taught to live as a Christian growing up. God loves it when we walk with him and we're walking in love and he says, oh, I'm so proud of that. I'm so proud of you for doing that. You know, it doesn't take a lot. He said, even a cup of cold water, to give somebody a cup of cold water in my name, you haven't lost your reward. So all of those things are Jesus' spiritual habits. His spiritual habits. Let me hit them again for you. What was the first one? He prayed early and he prayed often. Number two, he listened to his Father. Number three, he set aside the flesh. Number four, he practiced solitude. Number five, what was it? He walked in love. He walked in love. This last slide here has this statement on it. Jesus' burning passion to walk with his Father. His burning passion, that's what we have to ask for. His burning passion to walk with his Father all through his ministry caused him to be transformed. He was on a mission. He knew he was on a mission. And he was on a mission walking with his Father. Then this other slide thing comes up. Yeah, hit the next one there. Didn't he say this in John 14, verse 9? What did he say? If you've seen me, you've seen my Father. He and the Father are one. That doesn't mean they're the same, but they're so close, you can't see them apart. You ever met someone who you met a couple of people that were parents, and you met the child, and everybody talks about, well, she looks like her daddy. No, she looks like her mother. They go back and forth on that thing. Jesus said, I look so much like my Father, you can't tell us apart. Do you really want to walk with God? These are suggestions that come out of the life of Christ to say, oh, I want to do that. I want to do that. If you make it your goal and your passion to walk with God, you'll never regret that, will you? No regrets. Father, thank you for helping us today understand the life of Jesus and understand how he walked with you. We pray today, Father, that you will help us walk with you. We know that you want it more than we do, but we really desire it, Father. We desire to be different in our spiritual life. We desire, Father, to know you in a greater and greater way every day. Thank you for helping us do that by your Spirit in Christ's name. Amen.